Welcome back to Quest to the Core, where we explore the inner game of leadership. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. Today, we're diving into a topic that we both believe is foundational to growth, performance, and the presence that we bring, and that's reflection.
We tend to think of reflection as a pause, a break from action, but what if it's not a break from performance, but actually a critical part of performance? Just like athletes spend time training off the field to sharpen their instincts, leaders need time off the metaphorical field to do the same. That's what reflection is, personal leadership training.
Well, I also think it's not something that we just retreat back to or go, you know, kick our feet up a day at the spa. That it's actual work. It is reflection is strategic, it's dynamic, and sometimes it can be very uncomfortable. And that's where we confront our blind spots, that's where we test assumptions, and that's where we really get into that internal dialogue and really understand who we are and how it shapes how we show up and in all that we do and in every moment that we encounter as a leader.
When people ask me for feedback, you know, they've delivered something or they've performed and say, hey, give me feedback. And what they're really asking for is tell me what I did wrong. And there's not a reflection of, you know, what actually went well. So yes, I'll give feedback, you know, what they did well. If I did see anything, I may give opportunities for improvement. But what I really also like to do is to sit back and ask them questions, not necessarily right in that moment because there's so much energy and emotion right after the event, but the next day or the day after, just really deliberately step into that reflection. I'll have an employee and I want in the next one-on-one, and I'll ask them, what did you learn from it? And invariably, they'll start listing out all the skills. I learned how to do this, and I'm, you know, to work with this person under that person. So I'll let them talk it out because it's there. It's what's top of mind. Then I'll ask them, what did you learn about yourself? And there's always silence, which I think is fabulous because as we've established before, that the silence is the gold part where the real thinking happens. And they aren't quite sure how to take the question. And we actually get into a guided discussion for them to reflect on their performance. When you're out on the field, you're performing based on instincts. Something happens and you instinctively act. Well, where does that come from? Those instincts are guided by an internal dialogue. So that dialogue came from somewhere. And if your dialogue is, I'm bad at that, I'm not any good, then how you perform, your instincts are going to be tentative, hesitant, not confident, prone with errors.
Framed with.
Like that's the frame that they go into it with. So by having that reflection time, I think it's a great tool for refining that internal dialogue, which then drives the instinct, which then drives the performance. Which, you know, like when you think of professional athletes, that one image that's been going around LinkedIn lately, where it has an athlete has, you know, a large amount of training and then perform a large amount of training, then perform a large amount, and then in work it's perform, 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 one day of training and then a bunch of performing. Well, I think that is not completely wrong. I think that happens often. As managers, as leaders, we can actually help our employees with that training aspect by having and helping them with that reflection time. So reflection now becomes that personal leadership development.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when you sent me that, I often think about professional athletes and people talk about, well, they're paid to win games. And I always chuckle because they're not paid to win games, because winning games is an outcome. Right. Winning games is the result of what they're being paid to do. They're being paid to show up every day and to work harder and give 120%. That's what they're paid to do. winning the games. And even from a business perspective, right, the business success is the outcome of who the leader is, how they support their team, how do they move the business initiatives forward. That's what leaders get paid to do. And the end result is the outcome or the success of the organization.
Yeah, I think we get that mixed up.
Yeah, definitely. And I think reflection as a leader, sometimes we get so narrowly focused in on, well, I received a nice little leather-bound journal from the last training class that I went to, and I was told to write down my reflection from the training. And, you know, it has the first three pages filled out, and then it's blank after that, and it's put on the shelf, and it collects dust. And a lot of us take away that reflection is simply that, taking a journal, writing something in it, and we've done our reflection.
As a form of reflection, journaling does not work for me. I've got, you know, books and books and books of blank pages. It doesn't work for me. Yeah, there's other methods for reflection. You could take a walk, and you could on a drive, or if you're exercising, and deliberately take that as reflection time for you. Or you could sit down and have specific questions that you're asking about something, and you can write those down if you would like to. Like that would work. That works for me. So it's sort of journaling, I guess.
I have a hard time putting things down on paper. I'm much more of a verbal process. So me being able to talk something through is my go-to form of reflection. And especially like having conversations with people, that allows me to reflect upon it. And I think listening to you describe all of these different ways makes me think of a study that was published in the Journal of Workplace Learning that talked about three distinct types of reflective leadership. And from that, they identified, right, goal-based reflection, which we're all very familiar with, right? It centers around aligning what the organizational and departmental personal goals are and promote that strategic thinking, reflect upon the goals and the performance and what's being done. And then the second one was problem-based reflection. And obviously that focuses on we've got a problem to solve, so let's reflect upon what worked well, what didn't, or what went wrong in the past, or, you know, we've always done it this way. What do we need to do differently to reflect upon and analyze specific challenges that are related to hopefully coming up with that solution? And the last one, which I think is very fascinating, and I think is the one that most of us probably don't spend enough time in, and that's open reflection. And this is openly sharing thoughts and feelings that actually foster transparency. And maybe it resonates with me because that's kind of what I typically do, right? Is I have to verbalize it. I like to get it out there. But I think that creates that vulnerability. It also allows people to kind of know what's inside and what you're thinking, which may be kind of scary, I think, sometimes, if you really want to know what I'm thinking, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that open reflection piece really is the key.
The third one was open reflection, and then what
was problem-based reflection and
goal-based reflection. Again, like other topics we've had, I haven't really thought about the distinct types of it. You know, what if I was more intentional in doing that?
Well, and I think with goal-based, I look at that as forward reflection, mm-hmm. and problem-based is typically, you know, backward reflection, whereas open reflection really embodies kind of what you and I have talked about many times of just being in whatever you're going through or whatever surfacing for you. It's not forward or backward thinking. It just is in the moment.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, did you ever read The Power of Ethical Management by Norman Vincent Peale and Ken Blanchard?
Yeah.
So it's a parable-based type of a book. And one thing that really strikes me about that particular book and the way that Blanchard and Peale talk about perspective is that there's two types. There's inner and external. And so with the external, it's your get it done kind of a mentality. Here are my tasks. I go at the tasks. The inner self is more of a reflective and who am I and what's my connection to the world or meaning. One thing that that really stuck with me out of that book is they mentioned that we wake up in the morning with external reflection on fire. We've got our list of things to do and we go after that list. The internal, you have to deliberately wake it up. It's slower. It's fine hanging out in the back, but you have to be diligent in opening up that inner reflection, which really helps you to tune in your perspective. And if you can stop and reflect and tune in on what your perspective is about something or on something, then you can, it's going to shape your actions, those instinctual actions later. So I think it's a very valuable that in the moment, the now, that open reflection.
Absolutely. And I think that just speaks to it requiring work. Our external is task-driven, autopilot. We go, we do, we've done, check the box. Whereas the internal really is something that we have to be intentional about, really is something that, you know, what works for one person may not necessarily work for another. Speaking to your journaling, you know, there are some people who fill journals up, you know, weekly, monthly, and you might be able to loan them some because you have spares, but that doesn't work for you. That doesn't work for your internal self. And understanding that reflection is unique to you and understanding how you best reflect is going to help you get the most out of it.
When you think about your own life, either personal or business, how has reflection helped you to show up differently?
It's really huge. And I think going back to many, many, many moons ago when I was an athlete, it is about you practice, you go through these situations, you go through these scenarios, and you fail. And then you take away what you learn from it so that you can get up and try again and again and again. And taking that into professional, even personal, it's we can think we're showing up in a certain way. We encounter a situation, but we don't show up that way. Then we have to take the action, right? Then that's where the whole learning takes place and reflecting upon how do I want to approach this situation differently? Who do I want to be next time? And sometimes that's hard because we think that we're our authentic self every time we show up. And that may not necessarily be the case.
Do you have any examples to share, like to make it real for our listeners?
What's interesting is I do have a personal one where I was on autopilot and it was with one of my children. And I, again, made a decision that was based out of being overwhelmed, 5 million other things going on. I said yes to something when I should have said no to some things. It really caused a conflict and a potential break in trust, which was very difficult for me as a parent. And being able to spend some time really simmering in it and recognizing that, yes, that was a strong emotion that showed up for both of us, but it really was me not being my authentic self and why I didn't show up that way, and spending time reflecting upon how I can ensure that next time that happens, next time that I am stretched thin and running on autopilot, how do I snap myself out of it to make sure that I don't make that same mistake and break that trust?
Or said another way, by reflecting, you were fine-tuning your instincts for your internal dialogue that would drive your instincts for the different autopilot. Because the reality is autopilot's going to happen. I don't want listeners to think that Donna and I are these evolved beings and do exactly as we do and you'll be a great parent. You'll have a great relationship. That is not what I'm saying. It's that reflecting helped to shape the internal dialogue so that when that instance came up again, or when some other similar instance mm-hmm. triggered the same emotion, the internal dialogue was shifted so that the instinct to act was different and it was shaped and it was nudged into a different domain.
And it all happens through that intentional time taken to think about everything that surfaced during that situation. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, okay, well, I felt this way, she felt that way, this was the situation, this was that situation. It was really just being in it and thinking through the impact that that had and understanding that that's not how I wanted that situation to go.
Yeah, because it's, you know, regardless of how easy we may make it look, it's hard being an evolved person. And we still have these primal instincts that just pop out. And so we may shout, we may be upset, we may say no simply because we're exasperated and some other words may come out with it. But the evolved part of it and that reflection part of us, it allows us to go back to clean that up or to do it differently when it shows up.
Well, and I think we're not going to be perfect and we're not going to be able to use our instinct and autopilot in the right way all the time. It's more about how do we ensure that we reduce, the number of times that happens? How do we ensure that we are encountering individuals in a way that we want to the majority of the time?
For me, a trigger to start to reflect is when things get hard.
That's a good one.
There's, you struggle with things, life, you have a problem and there's going to be a toughness or a challenge with the problem, but there's a level of hard that happens that doesn't fit right. And it's, and when I say to myself, this shouldn't be this hard, why is this so hard? That's usually a good trigger for me to stop and reflect. And I'll, a very recent example is this podcast. This is something you and I've never done anything like this before. Felt pretty confident about having conversations like this in front of large numbers of people or just one-on-one. I love talking about it. Audience, no audience, I'm good. But it was just hard and I was struggling. I thought that it was really with some work challenges that I'm facing right now. I thought that that's where a lot of my struggle was. I was not feeling good enough. I was just not performing at my best self. And so I stopped. I was like, why is this so hard for me? And I sat in reflection. Well, that reflection took me to a completely different place. We started this at the time when it was the anniversary of my mother's death in April and the anniversary of my father's death last week. So there's a 2-month time period between the two of them. And what I realized when I sat back to reflect, because here I'm thinking it's this work thing and feeling I'm not good enough or this, what am I doing at this stage of my career? All of these questions of self-doubt. And what I came to is that it really was this, I was sad. And it wasn't that I felt not good enough. It's that I had this sadness that had threaded through. But my internal dialogue and my instinct was, oh, it's because of this work thing. Like, that's it. It which didn't fit because this work thing isn't that big of a deal. I've handled stuff like that before. It's not a big deal, but that's what I automatically labeled it because I didn't necessarily want to look at the other stuff.
Yeah.
And so I really what I've since self-diagnosed and shared with and talked with people about is that I think it's this delayed grief is that I was in. It was in this rubber band of time between her death and his death. And I was sad. And as soon as I was able to look at it, I did two things. Number one, it made the work stuff a lot lighter. And doing this podcast was part of the hard, I had it in my work. I just was not showing up very great for the podcast. And this is hard and I'm not any good at it. And then I was able to just really be sad and it be okay. And then remember my parents with just the love and the happy memories and the good parts of it as well too. It's a very personal, very real reflection for me that gave me access to so much more energy for myself to deal with the work thing and to address the podcast with a lot more grace for myself because I was in this whole dark place. It was like, I stink at this. And so I was sharing with my daughter about what I've seen and what I've been going through. And she said, you know, Mom, do you mind if I just put something in that I'm hearing? She says, doing a podcast is hard. It's a tricky medium. And you don't know how to do it. It's okay that you don't know how to do it.
Don't you love it? Great advice.
Great advice. She has it's fabulous advice, right? So in me then sharing that, so I think that's another part of learning from that reflection is actually go and share what some of those insights are, particularly with, if you're new to it, just share with people that you know, and that it's a safe space for you. And my daughter has just great insights and can see some great trends. And so she was able to hit me in the, you know, between the eyes on a couple of those things through that conversation. So it was really great. So I did the work. I did the reflection. I saw something I didn't expect. It gave me energy and power to be able to do the hard stuff and be okay with any failure with it, be okay with any triumph in it. And then by sharing it with her and sharing it with others, I've been able to hear more to help build onto that learning. So reflection, my, you know, moral of that story is reflection has so many layers of value that by not doing it, you miss so much. So it caps, I think, the level to which you can reach of mastery in whatever you're doing. So this isn't just a leadership concept. It's a building skill concept in anything. By being reflective and being diligent about that internal and external reflection can really help you on that whole journey to mastery of whatever it is in the world you're trying to master.
I appreciate you sharing that. And just hearing your journey that goes through that reflection allows us to have a whole new level of awareness. I know we talked about self-awareness and a couple episodes ago, but that level of awareness that you now have allowed you to be adaptable to the things that you were encountering that before were so heavy that you didn't know if you were going to be able to go forward. But doing that open reflection, giving yourself that awareness allowed you to navigate and then produce effective, actionable steps mm-hmm. to move you forward, which is so powerful. And giving yourself the time to do that is so critical too.
Yeah, it's allowed me to give myself grace, especially for the podcast, right? Because I prefer to be perfect or to look like it's this level of excellence when I do things. And this is not that yet, right?
This is perfect.
It is perfect for where we are right now in our journey.
Exactly. Just wait until our daughters listen to it, and then we will get the critiques and everything that we need to improve.
We'll get the real stuff then. Yes. Yeah. So it's giving myself grace to be new at it and to sort of being in that messy middle part of learning. At this stage in my career, it's putting me in a junior spot. This is actually pretty cool. I haven't been here in a while. It's been a humbling and fun journey when I can look at it that way. A few weeks ago, it was not. It was hard.
One important thing that I want to point out as I was listening to you sharing that I know we talked about openness, being open to whatever surfaces, that reflection is going to produce whatever lens that you are looking through as you are reflecting. So if you were reflecting, looking for a specific answer, if you developed your hypotheses, going from that scientist analogy that we gave earlier, and you were looking for that answer, you would have found what you were looking for. However, going from that openness, being just whatever surfaced for you, trying to understand as opposed to try to find an answer, really brought you that clarity. And when we translate that into the business world, clarity really is what we're searching for.
Yeah. The openness, the willingness to listen and take it in is something else came up for me as well too. Cause as I was sharing about this, one of my friends that I shared it to, she said, well, are you going to share about this in the podcast? And my instant reaction was like, no,
absolutely not.
Why would I do that? Right. No, I'm not doing that. So it's made the podcast. So there we go. And then with my daughter, you know, I was sharing with her just to share that, like, this is what's been going on. And for her to know that I have been, you know, in some different spaces the last couple of months. And I know she's noticed it, but for me to tell her, I know that, you know, for me to acknowledge it, that was my whole purpose. And it was such this happy surprise to hear, like, well, I'm hearing some things too. You want me to share it with you? At first I was like, yeah. And then as she was doing it, I was like, this is really good stuff. Yeah.
It is good. I tell people all the time that my leadership skills really have come from being a parent, that my three mm-hmm. kids have really given me the best tools to use as a leader. And even in leadership training, I'm like, okay, take these tools. If you have children, go home and practice them on your children, because they mm-hmm. will test every tool that you have and you will learn much more from it. And I really, really believe that we are also the most vulnerable with our family, right? Those that are close to us. And so we typically let our guard down. We typically operate more on autopilot, right? Because that's when we're comfortable. We're not on stage. We're not trying to perform. We're just around those individuals. And being able to have that kind of relationship or that kind of openness is golden. And just think of all the richness that came from you being able to have that conversation.
Yeah, you and I talk about our kids a lot. You know, so for our listeners, John and I will start with a very intellectual theory, nerdy article journal. Invariably, I would say probably 95% of the time, our kids come into it because we're laying over. Well, you know, this happened one time with my kids. And then I'll say something and Jonna will pull something in from the theory. And so that's how we actually make some of these things come alive for ourselves. Just being brutally honest here is by talking about our kids and relationships with our family, and to look your kids in the eye and say, I am sorry and I messed up, is some of the best training you can ever have. And to be straight about it and to not try to defend or not try to lay it over with a bunch of excuses. And that's the best training for leadership.
And I also think being able to do that for yourself as well, right? Like being able to tell yourself, give yourself grace and say, it's okay, I messed up. And sometimes that's extremely difficult, especially with the pressures that most of us feel in organizations and performance and going back to athletes, right? Yes, they feel the pressure of having to win games or to perform. But it is having that grace for ourselves and being mm-hmm. able to be okay with whatever it is that we're going through.
Yeah, the whole concept of fail fast, I think, is a tremendous lesson. And if you struggle with accepting failure and being able to drop it, that might be a great place to start with reflection. It's like, why couldn't I let go of that? If you right now are ruminating over a mistake you made yesterday, just start to reflect on that mistake. Why am I ruminating on this? What am I having that say about me, you know, internally? What have I learned about myself going through that particular process? So start there. If you are not giving yourself grace about a mistake, an error, a problem that you caused or that you did, start reflecting there.
Well, and I also think to keep in mind, right, reflection is not a one and done thing, just as most of the things that we talk about. It's we're on a quest. It's a journey. And we can reflect upon the same situation over and over and over and still come up with other things that surface, because every situation is complex. We as humans are complex. So there's not going to be just a simple answer most of the time. There may be, but there usually is, like as you're peeling back the layers of the onion, right? There may be something that's a simple answer, but then as you start opening it up, you realize there are other elements that may need to be addressed as well.
A thought that I'll leave with everyone is that reflect on the situation. Share it. It needs to be shared. When we talked before about leadership is a singular journey, but it's done in community. So the reflection is you. It's about you. That's that singular part. It becomes deeper it becomes ingrained. It becomes more of your internal dialogue when you share it, because it's in the sharing that the words will come alive for you. And then in the moment, it will become instinctual.
Mm-hmm. We are going to leave you with a challenge. The challenge is to select a situation or a relationship this week and just spend some time reflecting and ask yourself, what did you learn about yourself? What was your internal dialogue? What were those actual words that you said? And maybe even go write them down so that you can reflect again on those words. And then if you want to take it a step further, then ask yourself, who are you going to go share it with? And then maybe actually go share it with them and see what comes out of that.
That brings us to the end of our time. Our next episode is going to focus on asking better questions. We don't have a working title for it yet, but if you want to get ahead of the class, go out and check out the Harvard Business Review article called Asking Better Questions. There's several articles out there on asking questions, but that's one of the latest ones. Go take a look at that. A very special thanks to the Grammy-recognized number one hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. And again, you can go check out his information on our website, www.questtothecore.com. And that is 2 with the number 2, not the letters. So until next time, keep in mind, reflection isn't a retreat from leadership. It's a return to it.